is America Weekend. I am Paul Harrison. That song is called So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. That is the original version from 1967 by a band called The Byrds. That song has been played ever since on classic rock radio and has been recorded by other people, including Patti Smith did a version of it in 1979. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers did a version of it in 1985, and those versions continued to get played as well. Interestingly, Petty and Smith get paid every time their version gets played on these internet music services like Pandora or Spotify or even Sirius XM Radio. You know who doesn't get paid for that? My next guest, Roger McGuinn, who's the guy who wrote the song and was the leader of the Byrds. He has been fighting against some legislation on Capitol Hill, or actually fighting for some legislation on Capitol Hill that would change the royalty structure for performers who did some great music, but unfortunately, it was all in an era that doesn't count when it comes to royalties. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Paul. What happened was in 1972, they rewrote the Copyright Act and made it a federal law. Prior to that, it had been a state law. And so all the songs that were written prior to 1972 are regarded as they're under the jurisdiction of states. And the satellite companies like XM, Sirius XM, don't regard that as a real law. They look at it as a loophole so they don't have to pay artists who recorded before 72. It's not fair. It's just like a technicality, and we're trying to work on getting that changed through Congress. And there is a bill called Project 72, the Respect Act, that some congressmen have put forth.
Now, I want to talk about the differences in royalties here. You wrote the song. Do you get paid as a songwriter when the song gets played? I know you don't get paid as a performer, but yeah. do you get paid? How does that work?
Yeah, Paul, the way it works is we've always been paid for songwriter and publishing royalties. We've always gotten those. Performance royalties are something fairly new that the Sound Exchange, it's a nonprofit that tries to collect performance royalties for artists. And that's what the Project 72 is trying to get straightened out, because artists who recorded before 1972 don't get performance royalties, whereas Tom Petty and Patti Smith and people who recorded after 72 do. So it's not a question of songwriter and publishing royalties. We still get those.
Is this everybody who recorded before 72, including people like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones? And, well, the Byrds was a pretty big act, and you're not getting paid, so I guess they're not either.
Exactly. The Beatles and Elvis Presley's estate and the Rolling Stones and just almost everybody you can think of who made rock and roll what it is.
So you went to Capitol Hill, and what was the reaction?
Well, it was very positive. It was a nonpartisan group. There are five congressmen from the Democratic side and five from Republican, and it was very positive. You know, they put forth this thing, and I'm not sure it's going to go through because it's kind of a Band-Aid. What they really need to do is rewrite the whole Copyright Act, and that'd be a much more detailed thing. It'd take a lot longer. This is a four-page bill that would say that you have to pay performance royalties for everybody across the board, regardless of when they recorded it.
So if you went out now, and I know you continue to tour, when you play somewhere and you sing So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star on stage, if that performance were recorded and played on a radio station, would you get paid for it because you recorded it last night?
Yeah, it's a new recording, and so, right, anything that's been recorded after 1972 would get paid, but the original performance of 1967 would not.
When you do go out and play So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star, people recognize it as your original 1967 hit?
No, what happens is Camilla was out in the audience when I was doing a show for Amy Tan. She was receiving an award in San Francisco, and I went out and played a couple of songs for her, and I did Rock and Roll Star, and Camilla was in the audience. She overheard some young lady say, "Wow, he's doing that Tom Petty song."
The real irony there is that you and Petty are friends. Petty's music has often been compared to yours, and he's recorded several of your songs through the years, but they think it's a Petty song because it got more play on the radio, I guess?
Well, it got more play more recently, and yeah, it got a lot of airplay. Yeah, we're really good friends, and in fact, he appears on my DVD that's just come out on Story, Songs, and Friends, and he talks about the birds and everything, which is very nice of them.
Can we talk a little bit about that song and that DVD for a moment here? Because I loved it. And last time you and I talked, unfortunately, was on a sad occasion on the death of Pete Seeger several months ago. But I did get a plug in for the DVD because you sent me a copy and autographed it. Very nice of you to do that. And it was absolutely wonderful. But what is the story behind that particular song, So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star?
Chris Hillman and I were up at his house, and we're playing guitars and looking through teenage magazines. Now, the teen magazines back then had a lot of turnover. I mean, you'd see a guy on the cover, and you'd never see him again. And that was what prompted the song. And I'd heard a guitar riff by Miller Thompson, who played guitar for Marion Makeba. It went something like, dun 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 dun. I showed that to Chris, and it morphed into the riff for So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. And we thought the subject of these sort of one-hit wonders was a good thing to write a song about.
Yeah. Speaking of cover versions of your songs, and you and the Byrds, of course, covered other people's songs, one of the most famous, of course, being Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man and Pete Seeger's Turn, 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 which you turned into one of the first folk rock classics. Because you don't get paid for your recordings of these songs, have you, Roger, tried to encourage other artists to record new versions of your songs so you can get some royalties off of that?
No, I really haven't. It's not that, you know, pressing in my case, because I'm still working and I'm making a good living on touring. It's really, Project 72 is really aimed at helping artists who are too ill to perform anymore. There are people in their 80s and they're in wheelchairs and they can't get on the road. And we make a good living, so it's not really, you know, we don't depend on those royalties for survival, but some people do. And it would be nice it would be fair if we got paid, too. If you look at a graph of it, Richie Furay was there with his manager in Washington, and you could see a graph where it fell off, like, sharply, like a cliff, when the digital companies decided to sort of take advantage of this loophole. And it was really, I mean, it went from thousands of dollars to, like, tens of dollars.
Wow. And as you mentioned, it's not people who are still around and doing this, but there are plenty of acts in the 50s and 60s, and I would think especially R&B acts who really got screwed by their record companies more than any other in that era. They didn't make money the first time around, and all those performances of all those classic songs, which are still being played on a Sirius XM 50s or 60s channel or a Pandora or a Spotify specific channel to those eras, they're not getting anything from the work they did, right?
Absolutely true. That's right, Paul. And so like XM, like 4 for 40s and 5 for 50s and 6 for 60s, that's all free music for them.
It's unbelievable. I can't think of any place else in America where you profit off the work done by others, and especially work done by others that is popular to the extent that so many of these songs still are. So,
well, it's we live in a capitalist society, and we expect to be paid for our work. And but again, you see corporations taking advantage of tax loopholes and whatever they can legally and whatever they can get away with. So it's just a matter of adjusting that.
When you were on Capitol Hill, were you aligned against the forces of those industries?
Well, not really. I mean, we're just trying to get it straightened out. The other people weren't represented there. There were no people from XM or Pandora at the meeting. And but we did have we had Martha Reeves from Martha and the Vandellas, and we had Otis Redding's daughter and her son. And then we had Richie Furay and Mark Farmer from
Grand Funk.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going to happen next? You had that hearing. Is there going to be another one? Is this moving forward?
I'm not sure where it's going to go from here. Nobody's contacted us. The original meeting was Peter Frampton's people got in touch with us and said they wanted to have us go to Washington. We were happy to do it.
Interesting, because Frampton's biggest success came after 72.
Yes, and he's just one of the newer artists who's on the side of this movement.
Well, good luck with it, Roger. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I think most people don't know about this injustice that's being done, but maybe next time they hear one of your classic tunes or one of the others from that era, they'll think about the fact that the people who made that music aren't making the money while the corporations are.
Yep, that's the way it goes.
Thanks, Roger. Always a pleasure.
Okay, Paul. Good talking to you.
So you wanna be a rock and roll star, but listen now, hear what I say, and just kidding. Jackson.